It's time to get your shit together with the Gist of It podcast with your host, Chris Piercy.
What would make you happy right now? I mean, if I could just click my fingers and make anything in the world appear, anything in the world happen for you right now, what would that be? Now, instantly people think about the fast car, they think about the luxury holiday, they think about winning the lottery, maybe they think about like a person they fancy. It could be absolutely anything. And that's the sort of thing that their brain tends to go to. But I ask you, is that what was really going to make you happy in your life? I can guess, like, by the tone of how I'm saying this, that you can tell that I think the answer is probably no. No, it won't. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. My name is Chris Piercy of Gist Hypnotherapy and Life Coaching, here with the Gist of It podcast. And today we're talking about how to become happy, and it isn't how you think. Let me explain. Happiness spikes and lack of gratitude. Now, with the whole COVID ruining everything situation that we've been in for the last, I make it 96 years, it may be slightly less, I don't know. But you hear a lot of people saying, oh my God, I've just got to get away because, you know, holidays have been difficult to even leave the house at times, let alone the country. So yeah, people saying, oh my God, I really want to get away. And that's understandable, completely understandable. And let's say, oh, I'm 6 out of 10 happy now, I'm going to go on this holiday and then I'll be 9 out of 10 happy. But how many times have you had a friend or a work colleague come back from holiday and say, God, I need another holiday to get over that holiday? Or they come back and say, oh, I've got all that work piled up because I went on holiday. Like, going on holiday or getting the fast car is a short-term thing. It can be thought of as a happiness spike. You know, it only improves your level of happiness if you are able to have gratitude that on a long-term basis. If you go there, have a good time, enjoy yourself, come back, and nothing else changes, that is not going to improve your happiness, really. If you've been on the luxury holiday, that week-long bliss is amazing. Honestly amazing. And you deserve it. You spent your money on it. But then you come back to reality, to real life, to your day-to-day life. And the fact that you've been on this holiday, you've got all this work piled up, and you've spent your savings on the holiday, and reality kind of slaps you in the face like a cold, wet fish. I want to be clear, though. I'm not saying don't go on the holiday. I am not saying don't buy the fast car. I'm not saying don't win the lottery. I'm not saying don't have sex with the person that you really, really fancy. You know, if those are the things that you think are going to make you happy, however, it's going to improve your happiness as a happiness spike, as a short-term basis, and then you're going to return back to whatever your base level of happiness is. Now, if you've already got a high base level of happiness, then you're probably not even listening to me right now. No, you're probably doing something else, being happy. No, the only reason you'd be listening to this is if you'd like to be more happy. So if you've got a low base level of happiness, one individual thing, whether it's a week, whether it's an item, whether it's a person, is not going to just automatically change everything for you and make you happy. So how to become happy? It isn't how you think it is. Frequency, not scarcity. Now, I'm sure you know people, and maybe you've even done this yourself, I'm sure you know people that have said, if I just had this, then I'd be happy. If just this one thing changed, if only I was like this, then I would be happy. They live in this place in their brain where the next thing is going to be the thing. The next big thing that comes along is the thing that's going to make them happy. But that focus on having that one more thing to make you happy is actually completely wrong way round, in my opinion. Because perhaps you've even experienced this yourself or with another person, that once they get that thing, because maybe it's not something beyond the realms of possibility, once they get that thing that they said would make them happy, lo and behold, they are not happy. And they still go, well, if I just had this, and they go for the next thing that is definitely going to make them happy, if I just had this, if I was just like that, and they still aren't happy. But why? To become more content and happier in our lives, we need to not focus on these things which are just going to come along and just throw some happiness on a short-term basis at us, because, you know, that just means that these are viewed as treats and the rest of our life is this mundane thing where we're just trudging through trying to get to the next thing where we can be happy for a short period of time isn't what we should be focusing on. Basically, it means that our overall happiness is relatively low, but we have these happiness spikes, which I spoke about, which, you know, might help, but not on a long-term basis. What if, instead of focusing on the big things that we want that are going to make us happy, what if we looked at the little things that make us unhappy? These frequent things that pop up, the regular things in our day-to-day life that just make us that little bit unhappy, those things that little just bother us a little bit. What if you view your job as some sort of mundane thing that, oh, you have to do it, it brings you no joy, but at the end of it, you get given some money and then you can exchange that money for a bit of happiness, then your job is essentially buying your happiness. That just feels wrong. Maybe something needs to change there. If you get home from work, or, you know, when you leave for work and your partner barely acknowledges you, if you don't get that hug, if you don't get that kiss, that little thing that just kind of perks you up or makes you feel down, depending on whether it happens or not, if that isn't happening, then maybe that needs to change. Maybe your social life has been downgraded to the point where your life is just WhatsApp groups. That is your social life. You don't do anything more than that. Then that is going to be making you just that little bit more unhappy. It is these things that happen on a day-to-day basis, these small things which grind us down, which are going to be eroding our happiness and keeping it at this kind of lower base level that we don't want. So if we were able to get rid of these things that annoy us, these tiny little things that happen more frequently, then our overall happiness would improve. And that is something that the fast car, the fast women, the luxury holiday, the whatever it might be, just cannot buy. Money cannot buy that. So sweat the small stuff. I know they say don't sweat the small stuff, but, you know, I'm just being an idiot and kind of playing on the words here. But the first step in becoming happier is to identify these little grievances that happen on a day-to-day basis. So, for example, let's say that your partner leaves their dirty clothes next to, rather than in, the washing basket. And they do that day after day after day after day. And maybe it's the sort of thing you just go, oh, and it just annoys you. It just upsets you 1%. But it happens every day, sometimes twice a day. And it happens every single day. Let's say that decreases your happiness 1%. Now, across a week, that's 7%. That means you've got to find some happiness from somewhere. 7% of happiness. I know happiness isn't quantifiable, but I think you get my point. You need to find 7% of happiness just to return to whatever level you were at before, just because your partner continues to put their washing next to rather than in the laundry basket. It might be something as small as that. Or maybe a work colleague spells your name wrong on every single email. Maybe they abbreviate it when you don't want it to be abbreviated. It's something like that. This is not a big thing. It's not a huge thing. But it's the sort of thing that just annoys you that little bit. That sort of thing. So if you want to be happier, I want you to think about your day, your week, your month, your year, your life. And think about the things that happen that just bug you a little bit. Just, I think I've given a pretty clear impression of what these things are. It's not the things where it just instantly causes an argument. It's the sort of thing that makes you go, just makes you sigh, makes you kind of grit your teeth, just you feel your blood beginning to boil, but it doesn't fully set you off. Write down all of those things. You know, and in the very act of just writing them down may actually help to improve things for you. But for starters, write them down. And once you have written them down, we are now going to be dealing with your problems with grace. And the GRACE is actually an acronym that stands for gratitude, resilience, acceptance, control, and endeavouring. But we're not going to do it in that order, because the order that I want to do it spells out CAGRA, which isn't a very, it doesn't roll off the tongue as well. But we're going to deal with them in GRACE, but not in that order. We're going to deal with them in CAGRA, which is actually quite fun to say, but not the order we're going for. Well, it is the order we're going for, so that's we're going. I'm going to shut up and get on with it. So the C in CAGRA stands for control. I've spoken about the idea of control and understanding control across loads of different videos and podcasts and blogs and in various different conversations in episodes of the podcast. So I'm not going to dive into it too deeply. So in essence, what is important to understand is that in life, things fall into two categories. They are either things that we control or they're things that we don't control. That is it. The things that we control are our thoughts and our actions, and the things that we don't control is literally everything else. So maybe looking at one of the things on your list, just have a look at it and say, is this something within my control? So if this is an action that someone else is taking, if this is a worldwide thing that's bothering you, it's not in your control. Now, if something isn't in your control, then the Stoic philosophy would say, just let it go. Remove it as a source of worry. You can't control it. Nothing you can do about it. However, I understand it's not quite as easy as that. So if it is something that someone else is doing, then the best we can do in terms of what we control is we can attempt to influence that person. And what I mean by that is just by having a conversation with them, just telling them, hey, you know when you don't put the clothes in the washing basket? That actually really, really winds me up. It winds me up a bit more than it should, but I'd really appreciate it if you could actually just put it in. It's not actually very much, it's no more effort for you. So just, if you just put it in, that would make me a lot happier. Just having that really honest conversation about it. Now, it may be the case that the person goes, no, which is annoying. They may decide just to completely ignore it entirely, which would be annoying. However, that's covered in the next step, which is acceptance. We'll get to that in just a minute. But you can attempt to exert your influence over it, but you cannot actually make it happen. If they choose to not do what you ask, then you move on to acceptance. If they do what you ask, then that's great. Problem gone. That one percenter, gone. Oh, and if someone continues to do the thing that you've told them annoys you again and again and again and again, then it's time to consider what sort of boundary that you personally need to put up with that person to protect yourself from that happening over and over again. There is a podcast and a video about boundaries. I'll put a link in the show notes. A is for acceptance. Now, some things are just shit. I'm going to be really blunt about this. Some things in life are just awful. Now, this might be something that someone's done to you, which is really awful. It might be that something has happened to you and it's really awful. Either way, it's awful. Now, how you've ended up in a situation where something is awful doesn't really matter to a certain degree. The fact of the matter is, something is shit. And whether you decide to accept that shit or not accept that it's shit, it's still going to remain to be shit. So you can either, it comes down to a choice. Once you've got something that bothers you and you can't control it, you've got two choices. Choice one is to just accept that this is a thing and it's going to keep happening. You know, and like I said, with boundaries before, you can dive in and look at that a bit more. But you can either just accept that something is how it is, or you can waste energy denying that it's going on, that it's a thing. Either way, it's still the same thing. So wouldn't it be better to transfer whatever energy, whatever effort you're putting into denying and refusing to accept something, and putting that energy into something a lot more constructive, or something a lot more powerful, something that's actually going to personally move you forwards in life? I think you already know the answer to that question. G is for gratitude, G is for gratitude. Gratitude is huge for me. I apologize for the song. I can't explain that. Gratitude changed my life. I mean, one quote from my hypnotherapy tutor a number of years ago literally was like the biggest uppercut to hit me in my entire life. Now, it wasn't an overnight thing where all of a sudden I was a changed person, because it takes a while to kind of adopt the kind of idea of being very grateful in life. But it was an immediate mindset shift to how I wanted to be. And it happened relatively quickly for me, because gratitude is ridiculously important. I think the thing is, it's incredibly easy to be ungrateful in life. You know, advertising companies basically rely upon you not appreciating what you've got because they want you to have the next big thing. You know, the phone that you've got could be perfectly well functioning, but advertising makes you feel ungrateful for it and as if you should have the one with a slightly better camera now because that's really, really important, or whatever it might be. It's very, very easy to be ungrateful in life. But it's much better for you and your happiness if you can actually flip that all on its head. If you look at the list of things you've written down, the things that really, really bug you. Now, this is no way of saying without sounding like a dick, but here we go. There are people in the world, and at the time of recording this, people in the Ukraine who would snap your hand off to be in a position to be able to complain about what you're complaining about. Now, I appreciate that that's really harsh, but sometimes, you know, kindness comes with a slap. A slap of kindness. A kind slap. Kindness slap. I don't know what I'm talking about. If you're complaining about your car being a bit rubbish, at least you got a car. Does it get you from A to B? Cool. That's all it needs to do. It doesn't need to do anything else other than get you from A to B. There are people who would be, they'd love a car. And there was, rather than, you know, if you don't like the idea of saying, oh, someone else has got it worse, remember, at one time, you didn't have that car. You didn't have a car at all. You didn't have enough money for petrol for a car. Compare yourself to how you were before. And that version of you, 5, 10, however many years ago, would love to be in your situation right now. So if you don't like the comparison with other people, check out the comparison with your past self. It really is quite grounding. Frustrated by your partner leaving dirty laundry next to the basket? Well, at least you've got a washing basket. At least you have washing facilities. At least you have clothes. I mean, I don't know how deep you want to go on this, but you can go incredibly deep. At least you have a room in which you can have the washing basket. It's always, always something to be grateful for, even in the things which really, really wind us up. That work colleague that annoys you, well, that shows that you've got a job, which means you have income. And you know, there's a lot of people out there, including your past self, who would love to have a regular income because it provides so much security, even if Bob in accounts is a twat. Look down your list. Have a look at the things and try and find what there is to be grateful about that. You know, if you've got a partner you're complaining about, at least you have a partner. You know, you've got someone who perhaps looks after you, loves you, whatever that they provide. Because how good are you single? How good are you in the single? Do you know what it's even like to be single in this day and age? Perhaps not. So even look down that list and find what you can be grateful for. Just finding some gratitude in the things which wind you up may actually shift your opinion on it entirely. R is for resilience. I don't know why I said it like that. You perhaps know some people who, you know, the smallest thing will happen and they fall apart. They just crumble, and you look at what they've fallen apart about, and you go, "What? That's insane. How are they not just able to deal with that?" Because they don't. They don't know. Maybe it's the people who haven't gone through very much in lives who fall apart at the smallest things, whereas it's the people who've gone through the most who, you know, take things on. I'll add it to the stack of things that I'm dealing with, you know, because the more you go through, the more you've learned to deal with things. I think sometimes we forget how much we've been through, and if we stop and take stock of what we have been through, we go, holy shit, I've been through this, 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 and this, and this, and this. How am I still here? How am I still alive? How have I not just like been locked up in a mental institution for all this stuff I have to deal with? So I think we sometimes forget how resilient we can be, how resilient we are, how much we've been through. And I think it's sometimes useful to, like I said, take stock and go, I've been through all this. Wow. And then perhaps looking at the things that have annoyed you on that list and go, am I really letting this one thing annoy me when I've been through all of this? This couldn't be smaller. Compared to what I've been through, this couldn't be smaller. Why am I letting something so small bother me when it's so much easier to not let it bother me? I've done all of that. That's just nothing. Make your problems into nothing, because sometimes they are. E is for endeavouring. Now, if change was simple, it would happen all the time. But things don't often change much, really. When you look at what happens in your life, most of it stays the same. And if nothing changes, it stays the same. One of my dad's very favourite expressions. Don't know if it's his, but that's who I always think of. It's one of his favourites. Nothing changes, it stays the same. So you have to have the strength, the perseverance, you have to have the endeavour about you in order to invoke change. Your will to make the change happen has to be stronger than the will for change to not happen, like from other people. So going back to the washing basket example, if you ask once, maybe nothing will change. If you ask twice, maybe nothing will change. Maybe after 10 times of asking, nothing will change. Now, if you were to give up at this point, then not change has won. That's not a very good sentence, but things not changing has won. So you've lost. So you have to endeavor. You have to keep going. You have to keep asking for the washing to be put in the washing basket or whatever it might be. You have to keep being strong. You have to turn back to your resilience, turn back to your gratitude, turn back to your control, turn back to your acceptance, turn back to all of that and just be powerful enough, be strong enough, have the endeavor about you to keep trying. Because if you stop trying, it won't change. That's the definite thing. It definitely won't change if you give up. So endeavor and patience are your strongest allies when you're trying to make something happen. Changing the one percenters. One of the hidden benefits of dealing with things in this grace way is that it actually creates an atmosphere and an environment about yourself which will actually help you deal with the bigger problems, the real issues that bother you. They're going to make you stronger and deal with things a lot easier. There's never going to be a downside to being more grateful. There's never going to be a downside to remembering how resilient you are or accepting what has happened to you or understanding control or having patience and endeavor. There's never going to be a downside to any of that. It's only going to help you. Leveling up your happiness by looking at the small, more frequent things is really a great way of improving how you feel, your kind of your base level of happiness. And what that's also going to do is by increasing that, it's going to mean you're not going to be set off by the smaller things. If you've ever heard of a couple falling out and maybe even splitting up over what was the washing up, then you'll understand where I'm coming from. It wasn't the washing up that was the problem. It's that was the final thing on top of all the other things that hadn't been dealt with. So hopefully you know where I'm coming from. Luxury holidays or whatever it is that you think is going to make you happy are always going to bring that sense of happiness within you for a short period of time. But you would trade that in a heartbeat for the kiss on the cheek that you've been missing as you leave for work every single morning. Because those smaller things, those things which kind of grind you down, those things either getting sorted or being removed, those are the things, that kiss on the cheek, which are going to make you feel cherished, important, and loved. And that is what will make you happy.
Enjoyed today's episode? Then give us a rating and hit subscribe. Head to gistcoaching.co.uk to read blogs, get in touch, or find out more about working directly with Chris to get your shit together. To follow us on social media, search for Gist Life Coaching.